we are grateful for the effectual fervency of prayer. Fits the second P of prayer. And now we prepare for the proclamation of His Word, and that fits the third P of preaching. And so as we thank God for all that He has done, all that He is doing, and as guests are coming in and worshipers are finding their way, let us get ready now for the preaching of God's Word. Would you stand to your feet, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9. And if you would signify that you've located that text by saying amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter number 9, verses 6 through 15. Amen. Starting in verse number 6, the Bible reads as follows. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies need to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon today, beloved. An attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Let us pray together. Father, may the words that you've given not return void, but may, Father, they accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. Somebody need to know trouble doesn't last always. May minds be illuminated. Teach us something we did not know, God. And ultimately, may souls be convicted, that someone would be shaken from where they are and shaken to where you want them to be. I ask that you would hide all of us behind the cross and cover all of us under the blood of Jesus, so that you would see that crimson stain and that you would let that shadow of the cross cover us. Let your anointing fall fresh in this place, and God will be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Let God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you, and God keep you, is my prayer. Ushers, you may be seated. I want to continue in this sermon series around our giving, our resource management, our tithing, but really in how we are good stewards over the blessings God entrusts into our care. It is my prayer that since January, we've all given thoughtful reflection to how we support the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that since January, we have examined text after text that speaks to the fact that God blesses and God expects us to be a blessing. Since January, we've talked about the notion that God's increase monetarily is to be demonstrated, or the gratitude for which is to be demonstrated by our gifts back to the church by a tithe of 10%. Whatever the increase may be, whenever it comes, that we then would strive to give a tenth of the blessings the Lord has bestowed upon us for the work of ministry. And that out of the abundance of tithes, we are able to execute and administer the inner workings and outer workings of the church, this body of faith. And so the whole sermon series, the whole emphasis on the D-Free campaign that we are in, which we are sharing with our dear brother Reverend Dr. DeForest Bustosores, it's all built around the notion that if we are able to free ourselves from debt and delinquencies and deficits, that we would have more of a freedom to operate in the stewardship of God's resources that He bestows upon us. That giving in our finances, Reverend Dr. Sori says, is not just kind of the informational reality of you should tithe, so therefore do it, but is really delving into the emotional, psychological, mental realities of what we value and why we value it. And it is then the notion of where is God along the pantheon of things that we support financially and to which we give our money. And so Dr. Sori's, right, I agree wholeheartedly, believes that we need to free ourselves from debt so we can be and do and give more in the way that God would have us to be, do, and give. And that finances isn't the only thing that we're talking about, but that our stewardship of talent and treasure is part of the gifts that God entrusts into our care. And so therefore, right, it is not that we do one over the other, right? If I don't have the money, then I make up for it by giving more time and talent to the church. It's all and instead of either or. It is assuming that God has blessed all of us with something, right? Some food has been on our tables. Some clothes are still worn on our backs. And it took resources to put gas in the car, food on the table, clothes in the closet, tuition for the kids' school. It took resources to do that. And we wouldn't have those resources if the Lord had not given them to us. And so what then is our obligation to support the work of ministry as the Lord has blessed us? How are we to be a blessing back to God's kingdom and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so that is a premise, and it is a premise that all of us cannot certainly shake, thwart, or disregard. What I want to share is the text in Scripture that keeps us moving along a path of good and righteous stewardship. Paul, in this text, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, picks up and amplifies the same thing that he used in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, from which I preached a couple of weeks ago, in which the Apostle Paul talks about completing the things that you started. He says to the Christians in Corinth, I brag about you. I've shared with other churches in Philippi or Thessalonica or Ephesus, wherever those churches might be. I have shared how you have been faithful to pledge your support to the work of ministry. I have told other Christians about your giving campaigns. Literally, this is what Paul is saying. If you read chapter 7 or chapters 8 and 9 particularly, Paul is talking to other Christians about the pledge of support that they gave to the church, the people of Corinth. And what is clear about the Christians in Corinth is that they, we believe, were a little bit better off socioeconomically than perhaps some of the other churches in Asia Minor. These, after all, are Greek societies. The Athenians and the Macedonians and others are enjoying. It is not like the Greece we are looking at today that is at the brink of financial disaster in Southeast Europe. Back then, the Macedonians and the Corinthians and those others, the Athenians, were well-to-do people of God. Some of them didn't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but others did. And they who did pledged faithfully out of the abundance of their blessings. And so Paul is saying, I don't want you to forget that I'm bragging about you. I'm telling others about you. And in essence, I want you to finish what you started. And so when it comes then to chapter number 9, Paul picks up this same thing, and he continues in this conversation with the Christians in Corinth about their pledge of support. And this I want to just cite, because these are texts that we use in classic tithing texts, right? God loves a cheerful giver. But let's set the context to the text so that we have a better appreciation for what Paul is talking about in the text. Number one, I want to share these three words as parts of our conversation today to better understand the text. Number one, I want to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping. Paul references this in chapter number 9, verse 6, 7, and 8. Sowing, you shall reap what you sow, and sowing and reaping is something that is talked about in Scripture, and Paul references it here. Again, I want to talk about that principle of sowing and reaping. I then want to talk about the provision that God makes for those who give faithfully into God's program to support the work of ministry. And then lastly, I want to talk about how God takes what we give and proliferates that, multiplies that, expands that, and explosively applies it in places that we never could have imagined. And so I want to talk about principle, provision, and proliferation. Let's talk first about the principle of sowing and reaping. If you look in the text in verse number 6 and 7, put the scriptures up. Verse 6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Right there in that text, Paul sets the stage for this principle of sowing and reaping. It is a principle that he has talked about in other texts. And so line upon line, precept upon precept, as the scriptures speak about, this notion of sowing and reaping is a principle in the scriptures. In point of fact, some of us have a misnomer about what sowing and reaping is really all about. We tend to think think of sowing and reaping in capitalistic terms. If I invest some money, I'm going to get a return on my money. That is a mercantilistic, capitalistic way of thinking about God. God is not to be commodified. What do you mean, preacher? God is not to be reduced to a deliverer of services and goods based on what you think you deserve from God. Let me say that again. A lot of us think that God is a divine ATM. You put a few prayers in, you get a little bit of change back out. I believe that some of us have brought into the capitalistic thinking of how we live our lives in America. And as much as I uphold the capitalistic modality of economy over communism, over socialism, the experiment of communism failed. Look at the demise and the disintegration of the Soviet bloc. They have disintegrated into multiple states, and many would say that it has failed the people of the Eastern Bloc. Some would look at the socialist movement and say it too has failed. And yet capitalism is not without its problems. A lot of us have the notion that when we invest, we tend to forget that somebody else's gains is somebody else's losses. If you get a return on your investment, it often means somebody has gotten a loss on theirs. And I contend that for us to think about our relationship to God in a zero-sum game, I get some, others lose, is a misnomer of how to think about God. For sowing, a lot of us think of this notion of sowing. You got some preachers who preach this, right? Sow seeds into my ministry and you'll get a return on your investment. If you sow a seed into my ministry, I'll not only send you a sanctified prayer cloth, and I'll not only pray for you and your family, I'll send you a nice little gold globe or something of a tinkler, of a trinket that will somehow say you're more blessed than other folk who didn't sow into the ministry. And I'm here to tell you that sowing so many numbers of dollars into some people's ministries is no more necessarily godly than playing the casino down in Atlantic City or investing money up on the stock market. Let me say that one more time, because I tried not to stutter when I said it. This notion of sowing seeds and sowing money, thinking you're going to get more money back, is a misnomer, and I can say it this way, a bastardization of the gospel. It is using the gospel for financial return. And that is not what God intended with the principle of sowing and reaping. In point of fact, I would have us to think of the principle of sowing and reaping, not in investment return nomenclature, but in harvesting and planting. That which you plant in the fertile ground of God's environment, if you cultivate it and you nurture it, that there will be a growth and a harvest that is a blessing to you. And let me tell you why that's different. Because if I plant something and you plant something, we both can have a harvest, and my harvest doesn't mean that your harvest is any less. Amen, somebody. That means that God can bless me on this side of the fence, and God can bless you on that side of the fence, and all of us can be blessed. Isn't that a much better way of thinking about sowing and reaping? That God wants to bless all of us. And it's not about how much money we have or how many material things we have. But it is about the fact that God says, if you sow into the things of God, you reap the things of God. And if you sow into the things of the world, you will only reap the things of the world. Let's consider another text, Galatians chapter 6. Put this next text up there. Galatians says, well, another time in which Paul talks about sowing and reaping. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. That's the theological, ecclesiastical way of saying what goes around is going to come back around. Tell your friends, you mess with me, you mess with God's people. The Bible says, I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. And in you, Abraham, and your descendants, all of the children of the earth shall be blessed. what goes around is going to come back around again. And I'm convinced if you beget if you sow negativity, you will beget negativity. But if you sow positivity, don't be surprised when birds of a feather flock together. When folk who want a pity party, all they want is for you to join their pity party. And when you decide you don't want to be a part of their pity party, they will try to make you sorry for leaving their pity party. But you need some folk who are positive about the things of God. Now, the next scripture Paul says in Galatians says this. It says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If you want death, sow the things of the flesh. But if you want to live, sow the things of God. And again, I'm using that notion of sowing not as investing, but as planting. If you want to get those things of God, plant those things of God. And let me tell you the difference between planting and investing. When I'm investing, I'm putting money in and I want money out. But when I'm planting, I'm planting good things. I'm planting into my children. I'm planting into my marriage. I'm cultivating the things of God. And even though my children are not where I want them to be yet, I still keep cultivating. I still keep planting. I still stay on bending knee saying, Lord, I'm not going to give up on my child, because you said if I sow it, I'll reap it. If I keep planting it, if I keep speaking into life into my children, if I keep speaking life into my marriage, I expect to reap harvest. Come on, somebody. And so the notion of investing reduces God to financial terms, whereas the notion of planting and harvesting gives us the notion that God can grow things out of seemingly places that are dry and barren and ungrowable. And I'm so glad God is in the miracle working business, because I got me a hard piece of ground at some point. But when I get a little water on it and I get my rake and start tilling the ground and I start planting into that and speaking into that situation, I have had some situations where my eyes thought nothing would come out. But later God gave me a harvest out of that situation. And so Paul ends his Galatian text by saying this. He says in this next verse, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. My grandmama is still praying for me. And even though she's not here to see the bountiful harvest of her prayers, I'm so glad that back in Los Angeles, California, she's on bended knee planting on behalf of her grandson. And 3,000 miles apart and 3,000 miles away, her grandson is reaping the harvest of her planting, because I believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. Come on, somebody. You are the sum product of somebody's prayers. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. The preacher prayed for me. My grandmama prayed for me. The deacon prayed for me. The deaconess prayed for me. My husband prayed for me. My wife prayed for me. My mama prayed for me. Come on, somebody. If you do not get weary in doing good, you will reap what you sow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not just financial. Because I'm planting, trying to get some peace out of some hard situations. I'm planting, trying to get some joy out of some heavy situations. I'm planting, trying to get some patience out of some anxiety-filled situations. But I'm going to stay on bended knees. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose heart. For sooner rather than later, I expect that I'm going. going to be able to reap my harvest. I need somebody to keep planting. Keep planting into your marriage. Keep sowing into your relationship. Keep sowing on your job. For there's some folk you've been praying for who don't yet know the Lord. But when the Father gets finished with them, you'll be surprised. There's some enemies that are on your feet right now. But when you look up, they'll be your footstool. You'll be able to step up a little bit higher. Keep sowing and keep planting. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, I want you to remember, let's go back to Corinthians now. The next text in Corinthians says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this notion of how we give is important. Just as important as what we give. Amen. How we give our blessings back to the Lord is an indicator of, do you really believe in the principle of sowing and reaping? A lot of us, if I may just stay in the financial realm, think that when we give to God's program, his ministry, that somehow it is a loss to us. And yet I need you to understand, when you are faithful to the things of God, God will be faithful to you. Come on, somebody. I am a believer and I am a witness that when I sacrifice for the things of God, that the Lord will give me pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I can't beat God giving no matter how hard I try. You know the words of that song, don't you? The more he gives, the more he gives to you. Just keep on giving, for it's really true. You can't beat God giving. No matter how hard you try. It is not a loss to you to give to the things of God. It is an important fact. You are sowing, and there is indeed a harvest that will come your way. I heard someone say it may not come when you want it, but he's always right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Just when the devil thought he had you, God reached way down and grabbed you. Just when you were in the lion's den and your enemy was about to devour you, God stepped into your lion's den. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you were in the fiery furnace and your situation was about to consume you, but God stepped into your fire and coated you with anti-inflammatory retardant. Come on, somebody. The Lord said, I'm not going to let you disintegrate even though you're in the fire. Has anybody ever been in the fire? Anybody ever been down in the valley? Anybody ever been on the rough side of the mountain? And the Lord stepped into your situation just when you didn't know where your help was going to come from. The Lord stepped in right on time. The scriptures talk about this principle of sowing and reaping and planting and harvesting. It brings me to my next point around provision. Because when you are faithful to the things of God, God is always faithful. And even when we are not faithful, y'all better thank God that he is faithful. The scriptures here say, the next verse says, God is able to make all grace abound, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have the abundance for every good work. Keep that screen up there. I want you not to notice the product, the grace that abounds, or the sufficiency in things, or the abundance of good works. But I want you to note the modifier that precedes the subject. It amplifies. Not only will he give you some grace, he'll give you all grace. Not only will he give you some mercy, he'll give you all mercy. You're not getting the point, are you? Not only will he fight some of your battles, he'll fight all of your battles. Not only will he supply some of your needs, he'll supply
all of your needs. Not only will he take care of some of your demons, he'll fight all of your demons. Come on, somebody. The God I serve, when he does it thoroughly. He does it completely. Come on, somebody. The Lord will not just go halfway. The God I serve is not only an on-time God, but he is a complete God. When he blesses me completely. Hey! 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 All of my needs, all of my situations, all of my circumstances, all of my battles, the Lord fights my battles. The Lord makes a way not only out of some of my challenges, but out of all of my challenges. He provides my needs. And I'm so glad today that the God I serve is a God that just doesn't go halfway. You know how some of your friends are? They're fickle. They like you when you're up. They hate you when you're down. But I'm so glad that God loves me in all of my situations. Come on, somebody. He gives me grace when I deserve it. And he gives me grace when I don't deserve it. In all of my situations, he provides for me and for you. The text goes on to amplify this notion of completeness, thoroughness. Go ahead and put the screen up. It says, now may he supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Not only will he supply it, but he's going to multiply it. Not only will he give you the things you need, but sometimes every now and again, he'll give you the things you want. I'm so glad today that the God I serve not only supplies my needs according to his riches in glory, but every now and again, he'll stretch back the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. I don't have room enough to receive it. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's the kind of God we serve. He give you what you need, but he'll also give you what you want. If it is according to his will, he's never going to give you something outside of his will. But if it's according to his will, don't be surprised when he supplies it and he multiplies it. Brings me to my third point. Not only is the principle efficacious, nice way of saying it's real, y'all. Try me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Will I not open you the windows of heaven? Try God. I dare you to try God. Principle, provision. Bring me to my last point, proliferation. I've already gotten a little ahead of myself by talking about supplying and multiplying. But put the screen up there. Because to proliferate means to expand something exponentially. To proliferate means to explode in multiple forms and fashions. You're not getting the message. To proliferate means to grow at an unstoppable rate. To proliferate is to produce and reproduce after its own kind. You're not getting the message, Giant. The Lord I serve will not only supply it and multiply it, but he will explode it. Come on, somebody. What do you mean, preacher? Go to the next text. The next text says this. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints. Listen now. Not only is there a practical element of other folks' needs being supplied out of our abundance, right? Other folk get blessed. Strangers get blessed. Widows get blessed. Orphans get blessed. Those who are in need get blessed out of our gifts of being faithful to the things that God has given unto you. But put that screen back up there. But not only, it says, but also, come on somebody, but also is abounding in many thanksgivings unto God. That word abounding is what I equate to proliferation, because to abound means to grow beyond the measurement. To abound means to grow beyond the borders. You're not getting the message, are you? God told Joshua, be faithful and strong and courageous, and everywhere where your feet tread, I will give you the land. Ah, thanks be to God. God is saying that when you are faithful to me, I will not only be faithful to you, but I will explode with abundance into your life and into your situation. I thank God today, because there have been some moments in my life when I look back over my life and I look at the blessings of God, and I have concluded that I did not only not deserve those blessings, but God is still blessing me right now. I thank God today. For when he proliferates my blessings, my only response is to say, thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve it. Thank you, Lord. I didn't merit it. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't have earned it. Thank you, Lord. I shouldn't have gotten it. Thank you, Lord. I shouldn't have got over it. Thank you, Lord. I shouldn't have got out of it. Thank you, Lord. I shouldn't have got around it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had 10,000 tongues, I wouldn't have enough to say, thank you, Lord. Tap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you better praise the Lord. But here's what I like most. Paul says sometimes God's blessings are so rich. Sometimes God's blessings are so potent. Sometimes God's blessings are so immeasurable that there are no words to describe it. That's why in verse number 15, I couldn't say it better. Paul says, thank God for his indescribable. Come on, somebody. Has anybody ever received an indescribable gift? You're trying to explain it to your girlfriend. Girl, I can't describe it. You're trying to tell your homeboy. Brother, I can't describe it. It's so good. It's so awesome. It's so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your indescribable mercy, your indescribable grace, your indescribable peace, your indescribable joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world cannot take it away. The blessings of God sometimes are so awesome that they are indescribable. Paul concludes by saying, stop looking at what you're giving up and start looking at what you can get. An indescribable gift. If you abide by the things of God. I just stopped by to tell someone, cultivate an attitude of gratitude and watch the Lord proliferate indescribable things into your life. God bless you, saint. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me to extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. Someone needs to know about God's indescribable gifts. His indescribable gifts. His indescribable gifts. His indescribable gifts. I like that phrase. His indescribable gifts. Look at God today. Somebody give God a praise offering. Somebody give God a praise offering. Look at God today. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Have you okay? Good, follow the deacon. Bless you, young man.
Amen.
God bless you. Somebody give God another praise offer. Isn't God good? The harvest. Here comes another one. Somebody give God a praise offer for the harvest. For the harvest. For the harvest. Amen, 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 and amen. Listen, two invitations. If you already know the Lord for yourself, but you don't have a church home, I want you to come and step out and join us at Shiloh. We're not perfect. I don't pretend to be. But I tell you what, you're not going to find another church that loves God more and loves His word more and trying to love His people the way God wants us to. And so if you are in need of a church home, I want you to step out. Give us your hand and give God your heart. There's some father, some wife, some mother, some child, some man, some woman, some boy or girl. We've already had some come, but I believe God sends others of you here today for this very message, to hear the word of the Lord Most High. And I want you to not leave here without stepping out on faith. If you don't know the Lord for yourself, you don't know God through Jesus Christ, I ask you today to accept Jesus. For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except they come through me. So if you're here today, I want you to step out. Step out. There's another man, there's another woman, there's another father. Father, the wife and the children are waiting for you to take the lead. Wife, maybe a husband needs to see your impetus. I don't know who you are, but you know. And the choir's going to sing. And as they sing, the invitation is extended to someone else in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing, choir. Are you here today? Are you here today? Are you here today? Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today? Else here today.
All to Him I freely give.
God is talking. Surrender.
I surrender all.
Oh, I surrender all.
I surrender all.
All to Thee. The deacon, and as the choir continues to hum softly and the musicians play softly, let me say this. We're going to stop the music and the invitation shortly, but that does not mean God's invitation stops. God is constantly pouring God's self out to you. Constantly trying to say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, God says. And not only do I love you, but I show you how much I love you. Because I gave you my son. I gave my only begotten son. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but can have everlasting life. And so today, I want to say to someone, the rest of today is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised. 80 plus earth tornadoes touched down in the Midwest and the Southeast over the last couple of days. Hundreds of people lost their lives and their life's possessions. Some of them never got a chance to see Sunday, this Sunday. Some of them may have said, last Sunday, I'll do it next Sunday. Don't put off what you can do today for tomorrow, because there may not be a tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm simply trying to say, choose life while you have opportunity to do it. And so I just want to give one more chance to someone. If you're here, some man, some woman, some family, some boy, some girl, some individual, step out. Step out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. Together, Father, I'm so grateful for your word that was written thousands of years ago, your word that was spoken in the annals of time, and your words that are still preached here today. May your word not return void. May it be a seed planted into someone's life, my God. And may you continue to provide and supply according to your will. If there is someone under the sound of my voice who does not know you in the pardon of sin, I pray that today would be a day of exhortation and decision. Draw them nigh unto thee, O God. Help them to surrender in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus, and we ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon all who have heard these words. May they be to your glory and our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us say together, amen, amen. And amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, you may take your seat.